on Audio, the podcast for writers and all who are interested in books, literature, and the printed word. Write on Audio is the weekly companion podcast of Write On magazine and the Write On suite of publications from Pen to Print. Subscribe by searching Pen to Print in your favourite podcast app to have new editions delivered to you each week. This is a Write On Audio showcase. Our showcase this month is selected by Helen Aitchison. Hailing from the northeast of England, Helen combines writing with her work as the director of a community interest company, Write On the Tyne, which provides creative writing courses and mentoring with a focus on engaging marginalised people in the area. Helen also teaches for her local council, is a freelance writer for Story Terrace, and an online journalist for Radio Gateshead. Here's Helen to introduce her showcase.
Hello, I'm Helen Aitchison, an author from Northeast England. It's an honour to be editor for January's showcase. Our theme is beginnings and endings, and as we begin a new year, alongside with a calendar change, we absorb new hope and consider new dreams and desires. Beginning and endings is essential when writing and storytelling, from the three-act structure to conflict and resolution, as well as character development. The pieces I have chosen highlight beginnings and endings in a diverse, powerful and reflective way. I hope you also connect with them and wish you a wonderful year ahead. Firstly, The Strange Magic of New Beginnings by Christian Ward. This piece came alive in my mind. I could visualise a setting in the emotion, and at the end of the poem, I thought, we've all been that man, that person, or we could be.
The rain was harsh like a bed of nails when I left the family home. Crows dressed in top hat black looked away as I walked away from the block of flats. Resident cats roared from their windowsills. Once they would have jumped through hoops at my command. Not today. The trees waved goodbye with their spindly branches as my old life hopped away. In the flat share, I learnt to saw myself in half daily, splitting myself between my sun and work. I held my breath underwater, figuring out a new beginning. Every misstep felt like swallowing fire and coughing up meteors. I cherished every small thing, slowly watched the light, as bright as doves, emerge in this new beginning.
The second piece is After Print by Viv Fogel. I read this poignant poem and it immediately called me to be present and appreciate the moment I'm in, mindfully.
This wristwatch has left its mark, a pale, lucent disc, like the flattened wheat of a crop circle balding. What's absent on my tanned wrist, naked as the day we come in, blanched as the moment we must leave. An everyday reminder of how small and separate we are, as time leaves its afterprint.
Next is a snippet from Duty, a memoir by Jeff Stevenson. Jeff's novel tells of the extraordinary life of a boy born in a council estate, whose life is filled with duty to his family and community. In this piece, 18-year-old Royal Marine Jeff is deployed to the Falklands War. It depicts the start of war for Jeff and his comrades, but the endings of so much, including childhood innocence and possible life.
It was the 8th of April, and it was the day to leave for the Falklands. With our kit gathered, we marched around as K Company to report to the parade ground. Once we arrived, we were joined by the rest of the unit, who made up 42 Commando. We all carried our Bergens, kit bags and weapons, and were greeted by our commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel Nick Vaux. He was accompanied by Sir Stuart Pringle, who was the Commandant General of the Marines. Sir Stuart was walking with the aid of sticks, having been injured only a few months previously in Northern Ireland by an IRA bomb explosion. Sir Stuart came to inspect us and gave a pep talk before Nick Vaux asked us to stand to attention and delivered the orders, 42 Commando, to the South Atlantic. Quick, march! And off we marched, leaving Bickley Barracks for the convoy of vehicles waiting to transport us to Southampton Docks, where we would board our floating taxi, SS Canberra. This was a cruise ship that was being converted into a troop carrier. We nicknamed it the Great White Whale. The conversion was continuing as we embarked, with lots of modifications needed, including the installation of a flight deck and the removal of anything unnecessary, to make the ship fit for purpose, fit for war. We began boarding to the cheers, claps and well wishes of a huge crowd. The corridors on the ship, like most cruise liners, were narrow, and the layout was maze-like. Endless decks and rooms made it feel as if we were checking into a hotel on our holiday, only we weren't on an all-inclusive to Benidorm. We were heading into the unknown, despite our extreme preparation. Eventually, everyone was on board, and SS Canberra, our Great White Whale, set off for the 8,000-mile trip to the Falkland Islands, to the tune of the Marines brass band playing and the cheering, waving and car horns of the people wishing us the best as we departed on the 9th of April. It was time to get familiar with the troop carrier, our floating hotel. There was a bar on board, so naturally we headed to explore it. The good news was it was a stylish, relaxed bar. Rubbing our hands together, we knew there would be many a great night there, until we were advised of the bad news, that we were only allocated 2 cans of beer a day. Only 2. And these weren't your big cans, they were pop-sized cans. My immediate thought was that I would need to try and source the lads that didn't drink, and do some swapsies for chocolate. Over the next few days, we settled into a routine. It included training and daily lectures on things such as patrols, attacks and casualty care, alongside lectures on the Geneva Convention and prisoner handling. Unsurprisingly, every spare hour was spent participating in extreme exercise. We would run round and round the promenade deck, often with full kit, covering many miles in our troops, day after day, hamsters in a wheel. Alongside this, there were PT sessions in all kinds of weather, constantly building strength and stamina. There were easily 2,000 soldiers on board, all preparing for war in the Falklands. I remember thinking that if nothing came of our time heading towards the Falklands, at least we would be the fittest fuckers there had ever been. After brutal exercise and lectures on an evening, we would go and savour our 2 cans of beer alongside a sing-song to the entertainment provided by the Marines band. Some nights we were allowed to go to the cinema that was on board the ship and watch a few movies with no popcorn and hot dogs to be seen, but it was still a night out. Things stepped up a notch when we had to zero our weapons, getting them ready for action. Bin bags would be thrown overboard to use as targets, getting our rifles ready to shoot straight. Then on the 20th of April, we woke up in Ascension Island, just past the equator. It's a joint American Air Force and RAF base, where we had a few days to refuel. The island, mainly made up of rocks, hills and very long roads, became the track to speed march and run on. It was boiling hot, but at least it was a change of scenery. We had some downtime on the island beaches, which were beautiful. The ocean was wonderfully warm and so clear that you could see the fish swimming alongside you. For the odd moment, it felt like paradise, the furthest away from the reality of our purpose, of our journey, the horrors of war. Soon it was time to board again and continue our journey south to the Falkland Islands. Things had stepped up gear on the ship with the installation of GPMG machine guns. These were strategically strapped around the cruise liner. We were heading towards a potential war zone and had to consider Argentinian air attacks. Then came the news that an Argentinian cruiser had been attacked, sinking with hundreds killed, the Belgrano. And one of our ships had also been targeted, HMS Sheffield, with many lives lost. Now there was no doubt. We were going to war.
My final piece for this showcase is my own poem, Enough. This is a reflection on self-pressure and societal pressure that is placed upon us, especially as a new year starts. It is a reminder to be kind to ourselves, and that instead of the R word, resolutions, perhaps we should simply think about gentle goals and appreciating life and ourselves.
New year, new me. But what's wrong with the old you? Influenced by a cycle of repetition, unattainable, unrealistic competition. Never hitting that target, not the best in the market. Pressure, systematically expected. Are we ever good enough? A machine, programmed to conform. In reality, what is the norm? An ideal image from magazines torn, as we underachieve to faces scorn. Self-inflicting wounds of pressure, the unsustainable vice. Unreachable goal after goal, depletion of the soul. Tightening, smothering, suffocating flaws and faults. Feeling redundant and weak. But the truth that I speak is that you've always been enough, exactly as you are.
Thank you to Helen Aitchison for selecting this month's showcase. As usual, we'll share more information about Helen and her selections for this showcase in our show notes. We're always delighted to read your contributions, so if you'd like to see your words in Write On or hear them on this podcast, please get in touch. We'll share this link and all others mentioned in today's podcast as part of our show notes. I've been Tiffany Clare, and you've been listening to Write On Audio. Write On Audio is produced by Chris Gregory, and it's an alternative stories production for Pen to Print. This podcast is supported using public funding by Arts Council England.